like worshiping Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Jesus. Could we sing that a few more times? It's all about Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Worship You, God. I worship You. Worship You, Spirit and in truth. Worship You, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lover of my soul.
Thank You, Jesus.
All consuming fire is in Your gaze.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Jesus. Oh, praise You, Lord. Hallelujah.
I want You to know I will follow You all of my days. No one else in history is like You. History itself belongs to You.
Spirit, just take this service right now. Thank You for every song that we've sung about our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, just drive us deeper. Take us deeper into that very place so that we can go higher in You. God, we thank You, Lord, for the wisdom of the Scripture. We thank You for the depth of the Scripture. We thank You, Lord God, for the omnipotence of the very Word of God that brings us closer to the very heartbeat of God. Lord, this morning as we come into this service, as we already sung, but God, we want to know more about You. We want to know more about You. So Holy Spirit, take us on this journey this morning. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for what You're doing in our lives. We allow You to do that. We allow You to do that. We don't hold back this morning. So thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God, for every part of this service. We give it to You. Come expecting. We come expecting. We come desirous of a move of God. We want to see revival. We want to see people saved. We want to see things happen, Lord. We want to see the book of Acts come to life. God, we want to see the Scriptures come to life. We want to see things happen all around this area, through Cornwall, through all the surrounding areas, Lord. Just move by Your Holy Spirit. And thank You, God, for what You're doing today and what You're going to do in the future. We bless You, God, as we look at Your Word this morning. We are just so awestruck, Lord, but the depth of the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for changing us. Thanking You for the Word that allowed us to know You, Lord. So, God, we bless You today. We bless You. We bless You. We bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Hallelujah. Words of encouragement. God holds us. God holds us. The palm of His hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kids can head off to Sunday school. Have fun, guys. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. That was a great song to start this morning, I'll Fly Away. Wow. I looked at Betty and I said, you know, in just a couple of days we'll be flying. I'm looking forward to the real flight, though. Amen. You know, it's amazing because, you know, when you don't go on a lot of trips and you especially don't fly in airplanes a lot of times, and then when you're going to do that, I don't know, but the last few days I've just been, you know, going over the checklist in my mind of all the things that I need to prepare for and the things that put you in fear as well. You know, when you are flying the cheap seats in an airplane and you have to do stopovers in different airports, I worry about, will my luggage make it to Hawaii, you know, with us? And you know, those are kind of the things that put you in fear of flight. You know, I told Betty, I said, what happens if our luggage doesn't get there? We'll have to walk around for the 7 days while we're there in the same clothes. Wow, we'll raise a stink in Hawaii, I guess. But I just think of all the checklists and the things. And I don't know about you folks, you know, you're heading to Florida in another few days. Have you got all your checklist? Have you worried over it and kind of, have we got everything and put it in there and everything else? You know, it's kind of like, you know, you wake up in the morning and you, if I got this, don't forget that, Betty, write that down. She'll say this, you know, we've got all these things. You know, our luggage gets so packed when we go on a trip that, and you get there and say, why did we bring so many things? But that's the way it is. I'm so glad for the Word of God today that, you know, the checklist is all here. The beauty of the Word of God is that, you know, there's only one requirement. Know the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept Him into your heart. Bring Him in as your Savior. Love on Jesus. Walk with Jesus. I mean, that's the way. That's the way that we're going to get to heaven, is to, just to love the Jesus that we serve and walk with. And so I encourage you today. I mean, that's your checklist. You don't have to worry over that. You don't have to worry if you've got everything else. You have to worry if you don't know Him. You'll be put in fear if one day that trumpet of God sounds and you don't know Him. That will be a terrible day. And I pray that everyone that we come in contact will be in that place where they know Jesus. Amen? Praise God. Well, if you could bring up my slides there for me, Amanda, that would be fantastic. I want to go into the book of Revelation for this morning. Is that okay? I was in the Old Testament last week, back in the book of Joshua, and that message kind of prompted me to go over to this book. And so I want to speak this morning, John. And by the way, our new web page is up. It is still kind of in the formulation, but it's up there for your perusal. Some things are not right yet. Some things we're adjusting, but it's up there. And so get ready for it. We're going to start plugging in the messages, the sermons, over to the new web page as well. And the only thing about the new web page is they want the date and the title of the message. I don't usually have a lot of titles for messages, and I just preach the Word of God. I don't worry about titles. I don't know about you. You know, if you go home today and forget the title of the message, that's fine. But if you go home with the message in your heart from the Word of God, then you've got something. So anyway, I put a title up here, Jesus, smack dab in the middle. So there you go. That's a title for you. Jesus smack dab in the middle. So anyway, you've got the title for today. But anyway, as I was reminded of this week of this message, and I want to take you to Revelations chapter 1. I trust that you're already there. Revelations chapter 1, a beautiful portion of Scripture where John on the Isle of Patmos had a real experience with God. I don't know about you, but I love to have experiences with God. I love it when we come to prayer meetings and church services and times where we experience God. We experience Him. Just don't read about Him, but we experience Him and enjoy His presence and what He does in our life. Amen? So are you with me? Revelations chapter 1, beginning at verse 9, please. I, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the midst of the seven golden lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were like white like wool as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass as if refined in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches." I want to read you complete chapter from verse 9 all the way down. I only have up to 13 on the overhead, but I wanted to get into that very portion of describing Jesus to us. It's wonderful. Father, thank you, God, that we have a description of Jesus, your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that we can see you through the Scriptures. Thank you, Jesus, that you've drawn the lines. You've drawn the picture. You said that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You hold it all in place, and you are in control. So God, this morning, touch this pastor's lips. Hide me behind the cross. Let me disturb anything that needs to be disturbed today. Let me say things that would encourage. Let me say things this morning that would be honoring to you, oh God. And we praise you, and we praise you, we praise you for your word this morning, especially this last book, The End Times. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. So as I was in the message last week in the power of God with us, in the fact that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, as we saw in Joshua chapter 1 last week, it's a promise and it's a truth that we need to keep deep down in our hearts, that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? And I believe that this is a promise to us, that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And you know what happens to us when we forget that truth? We get into deep trouble, into deep hot water in our lives. If we forget that God is with us, where are we in this life? Amen? Don't forget that he's with you every step of the way. So we took that scripture last week, Joshua chapter 1. No man should be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That verse in the Old Testament helps us understand, that is to say, that you and I need to be close to God because he's close to us. Because we all know that we can take that the enemy and all the circumstances that you and I are in, those things can take us away from the presence of our God, if we allow them to. But this verse is very unique because it tells us, I will not leave you nor forsake you. It tells us about a relationship that you and I need to have in Jesus, a deep relationship. You know how to keep that relationship? It's very clear in the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 11 in the Old Testament, verse 47 says, you must distinguish between the unclean and the clean. You must distinguish that. In other words, our perception, our eyesight, our spiritual eyesight, must be able to distinguish what is good for me if I walk for Jesus and what is bad for me. You must be able to distinguish what is the clean and the unclean. I think that's a proper walk of the Holy Spirit in our lives, don't you? And this isn't one of those verses with a message that shows up only one time in the Bible, but it's a very common thought in our Bible. If you were to go to other scriptures, Leviticus chapter 10, verse 10 says that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. And then when you go to Leviticus chapter 20, you'll find it says, and you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, am holy. I have separated you from the peoples, that you should be mine. God wants us to be his.
He wants us to be able to distinguish between the clean and the unclean, to keep us holy, keep us close to his heart, keep us walking for him. You understand that? And then when you go over to Ezekiel, that prophet in the Old Testament, and he said this, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to be able to discern between the unclean and the clean." That's what God wants us to be able to do. And then I went over to the New Testament, and 2 Corinthians says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you." And we know that God wants to bless us in our life. How about you? Do you want to stay close to Jesus? You see, I believe that Israel was reminded constantly of their relationship with God. And I believe that you and I need to be reminded constantly of our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that you and I need to walk in every day. You can't forget about Jesus on Monday morning. You have to know that God says, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." That's Monday morning. That's the scripture for us every day of the week, that God is going to be with us. And so the nation of Israel, they need to be reminded. In other words, God wanted something special for those chosen people. He wanted to have relationship with them. He wanted to walk with them. He told them, "I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I will be with you always." And he does that with all of us who will put their trust in him. So this is true from cover to cover, that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That's what the scripture is all about, is to get us into the very depth of the Word of God. Isn't it great when you read the Word of God? In fact, this book is so profound. The more you dig deep into the scriptures, the higher you'll begin to start going in the love and the power and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that true? You ever found that? So last week in Joshua, we heard a phrase that we as Christians love to hear and to speak over and over: "I will not leave you nor forsake you." Do we believe that? That God is really with us? You know, we can start doubting the Word of God. We can get skeptical over it all. Do we really believe that God is with us? You know, I found people know that when we come to church, I mean, this is unique. When we come to church, God is with us. I mean, this is his church, so it makes it feel that, you know, in his presence, in his church, he's going to be here. So we say, when we come to church, surely he's going to be here. When we have a prayer meeting, like we had on Friday night, surely we've got to understand that, you know, he's going to show up at prayer meetings. So surely God is going to be here. And we do some of our Christian activities where we get together with people and we do outreach and we do drama and we have practices and we have all these things that we do around something that is going to be done in the church or whatever. And we have all these activities, whether it's a men's breakfast or a ladies' wings night and all those things. Surely Jesus is going to be there, because we expect that, because it's a church activity. It's something that goes on in the church, so Jesus is going to show up. But really, do we believe that Jesus is with us when we go through those struggles of life? You know, yeah, I can accept that he comes to church on Sunday morning, but is he with me when I go through all these struggles? Does he go through those things in life with me? Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I look at the things that we go through in life, and our attitude stinks, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Our attitude stinks when we go through the troubles of life, and we forget all about Sunday. We forget all about the prayer meeting. We forget all about the activities. We forget all about our Word of God. We forget about all the relationship that we have. We forget about everything that we have in Jesus Christ. We forget about the songs we sing. We forget about the Word of God that touches our heart and our life. We forget about the very word, "I will not leave you nor forsake you." And there we are. Our attitude stinks because we don't believe that God could do something in the struggles that we go through. Our attitude stinks. And so we may not verbalize it in words that we don't believe God is with us, but really in all of our attitude and all of our emotions and everything else, I mean, "Oh, I don't know, I'm just going through this battle." I mean, just by sitting there and stewing over it, that means that God's not with me. God's never going to go through this with me. But we have to believe that when we face struggles, we go through those things in life, God is with us. Do you ever get any of those promise books? I love promises, because when you look
Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. These are verses that God was speaking unto Joshua to now take over from Moses to lead the nation of Israel. God was speaking these words into the very depth in the heart of Joshua. He needed to hear this. So if you ever have any promise books, and I took this from a promise book, because in these two verses in Joshua, there are at least five promises. There's the number one, the promise of victory over every enemy. That wasn't a very loud amen. The promise of victory over every enemy. No man should be able to stand before you. There's the promise of the presence and power of God. There's the promise of the faithfulness of God. I will not leave you nor forsake you. There's the promise of absolute victory. Be strong and of a good courage. For this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. The promise to keep his promises. The promise to keep his promises. I love that when you get into the word of God like that. Basically, it all stems from the statement from the presence of God, both to Moses, to Joshua, to the nation of Israel, and to you and I today in 2017 on this wonderful, wonderful January 29th, that God is with us. And it's this, to have this absolute confidence that we are not here today alone in church, that on Monday morning, you and I are not alone. God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Nor is any part of our life alone or apart from God. He has promised to be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Can you say amen? See, I don't believe for a moment that I stand at this pulpit alone. I don't believe for a moment that I'm preaching the word of God and God has left me to fend for myself. I believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit. And when I stand up here, I sense God's power. You know, and I sense the moving of the Holy Spirit. I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I sense the Spirit of God pushing me on, saying, go ahead, do that, do that, do that, do that. I find that this is a wonderful place to be, is to be able to stand and preach the Word of God, because I do not stand here alone. And when you and I stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ, we are never alone. We are never alone. He's always with us and never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen? I believe the power of God is resonant right here, right now. And Holy Spirit is guiding you and I in this church this morning as our thoughts are being bombarded, as God is speaking to your very innermost being, as God is dealing with you right where you are, what you're going through with, what the Word of God is speaking to you from this book of Revelations, what you're hearing this morning. I believe the Holy Spirit is doing something right now. He's not leaving us alone. He's not leaving us alone. Do we believe that God will ever leave us alone? No, I don't. You can do it if you want, but I sure don't. I will not leave you nor forsake you. I just took a sampling of scriptures, and I offered them to you this morning because maybe you just need to jot down some scriptures about how God has promised to never leave us alone. And you go through them, and it's powerful, powerful. And those are just a few of them in the Word of God, that God talks about how he never leaves us, never forsakes us. I like Psalm 46, verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. I like that. And Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isn't that beautiful? And then those last words of Jesus to the 12 disciples, and really to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of this age. And then he said, amen. And Paul needed that in Acts chapter 18. Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision. Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent, for I am with you. I am with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And he is with us. Then you get down to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, and it even repeats that. It says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I like the word of God. How about you? You know, these, as you read these scriptures, these are strong identifiers to us as believers, that the truth be known to us that God is with us. You know, it's like, you know, every time you read the Word of God, it's like a nail, and God is just bang, bang, deeper, 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 deeper into our hearts that God is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. So as you look in this last book of the Bible, this beautiful, the revelation of Jesus Christ, this beautiful book, profound title, isn't it? Yet it's God's parting final message. It's his waving goodbye to us and said, church, this is what I'm giving to you to hold on to for the last days, the end times, to let you know what's happening in the future. It's God's parting message to the seven churches as well as the church today, Cornwall Pentecostal Church. Amen? It's God's message to us. So that's what it's all about. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 is a place that I really want us to spend some time today because it's beautiful. It's where John says, then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And verse 13 says, in the midst. And I hung up on those words, and I hung up on those words, and I stayed on those words, and I pondered over those words, and it was so beautiful. In the midst. I couldn't get away from them this week. And as I looked at them in the midst, and I was thinking of that message last week, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then here John is on the Isle of Patmos, in the very last book of our Bible, and he sees this vision of what God is pouring into his heart. And he tells him to write down all the stuff that's going on, happening, what happened in the past, what's happening right now, and what's going to happen in the future. John, write these things down. And as John is listening to this voice, he looked and he says, right there in the midst, in the midst of the seven lampstands. In the midst of the seven lampstands. You know, the book of Revelation is a beautiful book of prophecy that extends all the way into eternity. It takes us all the way into where we're going. And I love it. It's a book of eternity, but it's a very personal book. And John is in this spiritual realm, gives us glimpses of what we in this world can expect as we move through this great book. What's going to happen in the last days. So John is told in chapter 1 to record all these events and all the circumstances behind how he obtained the revelation. That's why Jesus said in Revelations 1 verse 19, write the things which you have seen, the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. And chapter 1 also tells us what John was facing. If you go back to verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation. Did you know that whenever you stand up for Jesus Christ, you're going to face tribulation? This is not great tribulation. You're going to face tribulation. Tribulation is trials and stuff that goes on all around us. People won't believe us. They'll hate us. They'll befriend us. They'll just walk away from us. They won't want to be around us. But John is telling us, I, John, both your brother and companion, in the tribulation. We're all in this together. Companion. We're in this together. We're in the fight together. Whatever we face together. Somebody tries to beat up one in our church, they beat us all up. And we're not going to let that happen. Amen? The devil tries to come in here and walk all over us, we're just going to walk all over him. Say, the Word of God says, just like Jesus said, the Word, the Word, the Word, the Word. We're going to throw it right back in his face. He can't stand up against the Word. We're together in this, the companion of the tribulation. And the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Here he is on the Isle of Patmos. He was there for the Word of God. That's why he was exiled. He stood up for the Word of God. What happens to us when we stand for the Word of God? He couldn't be in the public place anymore, so they put him on an island. They said, if they can't shut up John, let's put him on a place where it'll cause no trouble. So they put him on the Isle of Patmos. Put him out there to get away from him, so they wouldn't hear the Word of God. But that's why he was there, the Word of God. And for the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's what it says in verse 9. That's why he was there. The Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? That's why we're here today. Because of the Word of God in our hearts and our life. And because of our testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God that we've got both working in our heart and soul and strength. Amen? So that's why he was there. So when we look at these few verses here, keep in mind, just prior to chapter 2 and 3, here we are in chapter 1, the seven letters to the seven churches, and that people matter to God as you go through these chapters. In fact, this whole book seems to be a warning to those outside the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if If I didn't know Jesus and I start reading all this stuff in here, I'd get a little spooked. I think that as I start reading all this and grasshoppers and flames flying out and this is happening and boils on bodies and a third of the ocean getting eaten up and fish gone and this part of the world gone and everything else, I don't know, if I was reading this kind of stuff, I'd say, look, I don't believe that. Or if I have something in my heart that says, if this could be true, what do I need to do? If this could be true. As I look at the Word of God, I really think it's a warning to those who have not yet accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe it's also to those who know Jesus Christ and the Lord Savior, something to wake us up and to realize that we've got to be working for Jesus while it's still day. Amen? In fact, this book tells us that in the day we live, it's no time to play around in church. Play church. Mess around with the things of God. Amen? We shouldn't be messing around with these things in that wonderful, glorious salvation that you and I have. This isn't something to play around with and let it just trickle through our fingers and enjoy one day of the week on a Sunday. This is something that takes over our whole life because God says, I won't leave you nor forsake you. This book deals with prophecies. It deals with the wrath of God. It deals with the judgments of God. Yet it's all bound up in the truth of God. It's the truth, His love, His grace, His power, His might, His mercy. It's all wrapped up in this book, and He wants to get us into heaven with Him. And so I think the last book is very, very real and very sure, and it's a good place to put it. Amen? The very fact that we all have this warning, that you and I have realized the power and the depth of the book of Revelation shows that God loves us because we received the Word of God. We received His salvation. I like what John says in verse 10. I capitalized on some of the things that I read here in the Word of God. And he says here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Holy Spirit was moving on John. I don't know, when we get into church on Sundays, Holy Spirit, I invite you. When I get in back in that prayer room at 9:30 in the morning on Sunday mornings, Holy Spirit, if you're not here, we don't have church. Holy Spirit, you've got to show up. Holy Spirit, you've got to move. I want to be in the Spirit. I want the people to be in the Spirit. I want the church to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. I mean, this time is very crucial to us. I mean, this very time on Sunday mornings, we need church. This is what prepares us and gets us ready for all the battles and all the things that we face. It tempers our mind, spirit, soul, and everything about us. It gets us ready for what we're about to face through all this week. Amen? So when you come into church, pray, God, get me into the Spirit in this place. Let me sing in the Spirit. Let me think in the Spirit. Let me dwell in the Spirit. Let me just have the spiritual depth of what we can have in church. Because when we get together as a body of believers, there's something special here. I don't know about you, but when you're out there in the world and in the grocery store or whatever, it's really hard to get into the Spirit. You know, when you're going along shopping and everything else, and I see Betty go down an aisle, and I never know when she's going to come back. You know, I just realized, well, there she goes. And then I stand there with the cart, and somebody else walks by. And I've even been asked by people in the supermarket, can I help you? Oh, no, I'm just waiting for my wife. You know, and you just stand there. And somebody else ever had that? Yeah. I mean, you stand there. I mean, you look silly, but really, Betty's gone. The shopping's at a standstill. You know, I don't know where she's going. Will she go down that aisle? Will she come up that one? Is she over that side of the store? I don't know. The best, safest place is to be. This is where I left her. So I'll stay here. And so you kind of look funny, and you're standing there, and all of a sudden somebody comes along, and they want at what you're standing in front of. You know, that's another battle that you go through because they're trying to reach over your car or whatever, and so you move back, and then all of a sudden you realize that you're in somebody else's way. Isn't it amazing some of the things we go? And so when you're in the supermarket, there's no way you can be in the Spirit. But when we come to church, and start singing the songs, and start lifting our voices and our hearts and getting in tune with God, we need to invite Holy Spirit. You say, God, I want to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Because that's when God can speak to you.
and God can deal with us in our certain things in our life. And this would all would be so much more powerful than, you know, when you start thinking of how he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. This is how you receive messages. This is how you hear from God, being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And I know that all the technology and all the stuff around us these days, I mean, you go to movies and they're 3D cineramic and panoramic and this-o-matic and everything else, you know, all these big screens, and they have to make us feel like we're right there when we go to a drama. But you can you imagine when John was there in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and God began to show him things which were to come? Can you imagine the panorama of that vision and the things that he was feeling and sensing on the Lord's Day in the Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit is here doing what the Holy Spirit does best. He shows us things. He takes us places and helps us to understand the depth of the Word of God. He'll take us deep into the Word of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is here to do. He wants us to climb higher in the very things of God, because when we start climbing, you know what? He's going to say, put your hand there. Put your hand there. Yeah, a little higher. Go a little higher. The Holy Spirit is leading us. I mean, that's what he does best. We all need to be praying that Holy Spirit would take the things of Christ and show them to us. And that's exactly what Jesus told us in the Word of God. In fact, his exact words in John chapter 16, verse 13 are this: however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. That's what Holy Spirit does best. Aren't you glad today for the Holy Spirit? Are you in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? I trust you are. I'm kind of feeling a little spiritual. Always. Always. Amen. Good words to say. Always. So John, in the Spirit, on the Lord's Day, hears a voice like a trumpet. Like a trumpet. And it spoke to him. Can you imagine being in the Spirit and you hear a trumpet and God is speaking to you? This is beautiful, isn't it? I love the Word of God. We all know that when the Lord Jesus returns and descends from heaven to remove his church from the earth, he will come with a shout and with a trumpet. You know, 1 Thessalonians tells us, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so we shall be forevermore. So therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. Praise God. His voice will be like the voice of an archangel, and his voice will be like the sound of a trumpet, because it is identified here in Revelation chapter 1 just as that. But it will be Christ's own voice. It will be Jesus calling the church to himself, calling us home. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Hallelujah. He's calling us to himself. It will be Christ's trumpet call to you and I. Praise God. And that's going to be quite a day. Revelation chapter 1 and these beautiful verses, they describe to us what Jesus looked like. You want to know what he looks like? Read these verses over and over. As John drew the picture for us in these words, and it's all awesome, but the fact would be to capitalize on today is this: that God is with us, never leaves us, never forsakes us. In fact, John says, here he is in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. It reminds me of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember those guys? They wouldn't bow down. When the king told them, he said, you know, every time the music begins, you guys, like everybody else, have got to bow down. They said, not us. We only bow to one God. We only bow to one. That's God. And so, anyway, you know that Nebuchadnezzar didn't like what was happening there, and so he decided that, you know, let's get rid of people like that, because we don't want them in our society, because they'll only make other people do the same thing. You know, you go to church, other people start going to church too, so let's get rid of the church. I mean, that's what the world is trying to do all around us. And so as King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to get rid of them, I love when Daniel chapter 3, he went ahead and did his plans. In fact, they stoked up the fiery furnace 7 times hotter than it ever was before. They just said, let's get rid of these guys. Not even one little bit of an ash left of these 3 guys who would not bow down to the music when it starts to play. So they threw them into the furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3 was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. In the midst of the fire. Isn't that what John said? I see this one like the Son of Man in the midst. And there, King Nebuchadnezzar, with these eyes that don't know God, with the very feeling of looking into this very fiery furnace where 3 godly boys are, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he doesn't see 3 down there, he sees 4. And matter of fact, he says, that 4th one is like the Son of God. Wow. Who revealed that to him? I believe the Holy Spirit. And here in this end-time book of prophecy, we get all this information, this truth, this understanding that all the way through history, it's a given that God has never left us alone. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. Can you say amen? And as I was preparing this message, I got a song. Okay? He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here, holy, holy. I will bless his name again. He is here, listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here, you can touch him. You will never be the same. Don't you love that? I love music. Just about everything that you and I face, there's been a song written about it. I astound Betty sometimes. She'll say something, all of a sudden I'll sing a song. I just, you know, it pops in. I don't know why it is. I've got this computer bank of songs in there. I mean, you think the computer's got a lot of songs. I've got stuff in here that all you have to do is start a line or whatever, just pops out. I don't know what it is, but it's music in the heart. It's beautiful. We need that. And he is here. He's in the midst of the 7 lampstands or candlesticks, whatever translation you have. And the lampstands, we are told in verse 20, are the 7 churches. And Christ is at the center of the church. He's at the center of our church. He's at the center of every church. He's at the center of our lives. He's at the center of our homes. He's at the center of our families. He's at the center of our marriages. Everything that you and I do, we are to revolve around him, and he revolves around us because he never leaves us nor forsakes us. He must be found constantly in the center of our conversation, the center of our thoughts, the center of our life, everything about us in the middle position, because he is the one and only mediator between God and mankind. Amen? That's why Paul said to Timothy, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 20 says, for where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. In the midst. I love those words. It keeps popping up all through the Word of God, that God keeps coming up in the midst of everybody that wants to sing to him, to praise him, to pray unto him. God is in the midst. Jesus knows that what is best for us is to live by truth. Hallelujah. Do you want to live by truth today? He knows that if we get off target, how many know you get off target every now and then? He knows that when we get off target in our lives, forget about Jesus being with us, that we will be in trouble. Recall after the resurrection, when Jesus was nailed to the cross, Jesus was brutally taken by all the Sanhedrin and whipped and laughed at and mocked and where they were. I mean, here were the disciples after everything had happened and everything transpired. They're back in this room. They're all wondering what's happening. You know, when you think about the disciples back in that room, they were probably really uncertain about the future. They knew the Word of God, but they were really probably uncertain about what was going to happen in their future. Maybe as they lingered in the place where they were, there may have been some fear. Jesus is gone. What do we do? There may have been some fear. Maybe there was some uncertainty. For sure there was some uncertainty. Maybe they said, let's have a prayer meeting. You know, that seemed to always work for Jesus. Let's just have a prayer meeting. Let's begin to pray. Let's do something. We've got to be activity. We've got to be in activity. We've got to do things. Maybe they started seeking direction of what to do now. Maybe they were just waiting for, like we always say, I'm just looking for a sign. God would just show us a sign. Something that would pop through and allow us to know that what's going to happen. But then right there, in all of that moment that these 12 disciples, the 11 disciples were feeling all this momentum and the fear and the uncertainty, right there, right then, Jesus shows up. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and, listen to these words, stood in the midst. I love those words, in the midst. They keep showing up all through the Bible. And there, Jesus came right into those disciples. Jesus shows up. Jesus came and stood in the midst. And this is what he said to them in all their uncertainty, in all their fear, and all their worry and everything else. What's going to happen now? Jesus is gone. Jesus is gone. These are the words that Jesus says as he stands right there in their midst. Peace be with you. I like that. When you're going through all your worry and all your fear and wondering if God is with you and everything else, there he is. He just steps right into the midst of all your life. And he says, peace be with you. Peace be with you. I think the disciples needed that. They were shaken from the last few days that they'd gone through of Jesus being taken in custody. They needed that most, that Jesus was right there in the midst of them. And I need that every day of my life. I don't know about you, but I need to know. I need to have Jesus show up every day, and he does show up, and he never leaves me. He never forsakes us, just like every one of us. You believe in Jesus? Do you believe he's with you? What do we need most right now? If there was ever a truth from this book that we need to keep us strong, safe, and sure in our walk, it's to know that Jesus is in the midst. Revelation chapter 1, in the midst. In the New King James Version, it says in the midst. In the New Living Translation, it says in the middle. In the middle. The NIV says among the lampstands. And then I looked at that word midst in the Greek. It means, it's spelled M-E-S-O-S. I like that, S-O-S. Mesos. Among them. This is what it means. Among them. Before them. Between them. In the day. In the night. All around them. I like that. In the midst. With them. Around them. In them. Day. Night. I like that. I went to Strong's Concordance, and that's exactly what it said. Remember how when Jesus told the disciples when they were going out to speak to people, and he sent them out two by two, and he said this, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as servants and harmless as doves. Now, do you think for a moment that Jesus sent them out in the midst of wolves by themselves? When you or I are out in the midst of all the wolves in this world that you and I live in, we are not by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. But they are not only in the midst of wolves. They're in the midst of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is with them. Hallelujah. Even though there are wolves all around us. And you know, the wolves are dressed all kinds of different ways. You know, it's interesting. They show up in all kinds of ways. They do all kinds of things. They have all kinds of false doctrines. They have all kinds of false Christs. They're all around us. They have everything false. And even though that we're living, as Paul told Timothy, in perilous times, Jesus is in the midst. And that's why John describes Jesus in Revelation chapter 1, in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man. Hallelujah. There is nothing between Jesus and the lampstands. Nothing between them. Jesus is in the midst. There's nothing. If you allow something between you and Jesus, then you've allowed it to come in. But when Jesus stands in the midst, there's nothing between him and his church. Nothing. He's standing right there in the middle of his church. I love that. And it says in verse 17, I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of Hades and of death. The churches of the Roman time and of the province of Asia were mostly Greek-speaking. So I love this Alpha and Omega. They would have understood what that was all about when they hear Alpha and Omega, those Greek terms.
as the first. Jesus is the first, most prominent, more important in God's plan. At the last, he is for eternity and eternity and eternity. He could never, ever be replaced. Did you know that Jesus could never be replaced? There's no other Messiah could ever take the place of Jesus. I like that video that we showed of the King of Kings. There's nobody else that could sit on the throne as Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father. There's nobody else that could ever take the place of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. His throne will be eternal. All others who claim to be the Christ or Messiah are false. Jesus himself even warned us against false imposters. He also gave us assurance that he will come suddenly. If anyone claims to be the Messiah or Christ or a manifestation of Christ and believers are still here on earth, then you know it's a lie because Jesus is coming to get believers. So thank God if you're a believer and somebody says Jesus is over in the next city, he's not there because you're a believer and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So these seven lampstands are really beautiful. The gold speaks of Jesus and his deity and all that is. And in those lampstands is the olive oil or the oil burning, which represents the Holy Spirit. Is the church burning for Jesus today? Even though those seven churches were persecuted, these seven churches still had the power of the Spirit. And the fact remains that whatever we go through, whatever those seven churches went through, and us today, we need to know that Christ was in their midst, that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. I feel that John has given us some powerful things in these verses, and it's very beautiful. And I want to take you to one last verse. Move. Move! Where's Amanda? Amanda, run back there. Wendy, run back there. Just bring the arrow down. It's not moving. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood that computer and change the slide right now. Down to down arrow. Just down to from where we are. Zephaniah. I want to go to this beautiful scripture. Oh, you went back to the first. One more. There we go. I love this in the prophet Zephaniah. The Lord your God in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing, the Lord your God in your midst. Isn't that a beautiful portion of scripture? Check it out sometime in your midst, in the midst. Check out those words sometime and find out how many times God tells us that he's in our midst, how he's with us. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And because Jesus in the midst is the only reason, the sole reason, why the church could ever, ever exist on planet Earth, even in the times of great persecution and great battles and everything else. Do you know why we're sitting here today? Why the church went through the book of Acts? Why the church went through the dark ages? Why all the people were burned at the stake for trying to get the word of God in English? Why all the people who tried to get the gospel all around this world? Do you know why we're still here today? Because Jesus is in the midst. That's why. I always tell people when they say, you know, how do you believe that Jesus is the only one true God? I said, well, you check it out. Every time the name of Jesus Christ was held high, every time somebody lived for Jesus, Jesus was in the midst. And that's why we have it here today. That's why we have the moving of the Holy Spirit. That's why you and I are here today in Cornwall Pentecost Church. Would the worship team come, please? So today, the church is God's property. And Jesus is smack dab in the middle. Amen? Smack dab in the middle. Would you bow your heads with me today? Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Thank you for the moving of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the depth of the word. Oh, God, thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for church. Thank you for this church. Thank you, God, for every person here today. Thank you, God, for what you're speaking into our life. I don't know what people are going through, what people face. But all I know is, Lord, that when we believe in the Word of God, something happens and transforms us. It takes us to a different level. Lord, we can walk in fear. We can walk in anxiety. We can walk in doubt. We can be skeptical of the Word of God. We can even be unsure at times. But God, help us. Because if we walk in those things, we're going to lose. But when we start walking in the profound truth of the Word of God, just like you spoke to Moses, just like you spoke to Joshua, just like you spoke to Zephaniah, just like you spoke to David, just like you spoke to the disciples, and just like you spoke in that Lord's day when John was in the Spirit and that you were in the midst, one like the Son of Man. God, I thank you, Lord. Help us to depend upon that truth, not fear, not anxiety, but the truth of the Word of God, because that's what's going to hold us. So I pray this morning, if somebody's going through something like that of anxiety and fear, God, I pray this message would stir them and wake them up to believe that Jesus is in the midst. Jesus is in the midst of everything they're going through, everything they're facing, everything they're living out right now. Jesus is in the midst. And I thank you, God, thank you, God, thank you, God, for what you're doing in the midst of this church. We're believing for great things to happen, Lord. So I thank you, I praise you, I exalt you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be.
Be your name in the land that is plentiful. These streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
Praise you, God.
Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness.
He's there with us.
Blessed be
praise
your
God.
Name.
Right there in the midst. Hallelujah.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Yes.
Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name.
Thank you, God.
Blessed be your name. The road marked with suffering, goes a pain in the offering.
Blessed be your name. Hallelujah.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, oh, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give.
Here and just ask, because I just felt prompted by the Holy Spirit that maybe somebody is going through something right now and you need prayer. I don't know whether you're facing something, and this message was for you this morning. It just needed to get you up in the very spiritual realm. But I believe that when we gather together, when people begin to pray for you, it's like that extra oomph. It's like saints are gathering around you and gathering around that whatever the difficulty is. So if there's something here today, somebody here today, that you're just facing a real struggle and you need some prayer, why don't you come and we're just going to pray for you and ask God to really get you over that threshold of all the stuff that's in your life, and that you're going to find the victory and the joy in Jesus. Anybody at all, just come on up. Come on up. We're going to pray for you this morning. Let's sing that song, Blessed Be the Name, again. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful. The streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.